Today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a five-generation Georgia-based beef and poultry farm determined to conduct business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com.
I'm Greg Blaze, host of Cutting the Curd. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hi, and welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb, coming to you from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I'm your host, Julia Tertian. Off the air, I write about food, and my favorite part about what I do is finding out the stories behind great recipes, restaurants, and more. On the air, I get to bring the pages of Cherry Bomb magazine to life by having these conversations with some of the most interesting women in the world of food. You can listen to the show live every Monday at 1 o'clock on heritageradionetwork.org or download it anytime on iTunes. On today's show, I'm so happy to be joined by two chefs who also happen to be friends, which is always great in the chef community. Chef Janine Booth of the recently opened Root and Bone and Chef Leah Cohen of Pig and Cow. Hi, guys. Thanks
hey.
So much for coming.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for making the trip to Brooklyn. I know. Not on your usual path. I'd love to hear a little bit more about both of your backgrounds. Janine, where are you from originally?
So I'm from Perth, Australia, so the west coast of Australia. Yeah, it's about a 30-hour flight from New York to Perth. So I like to think of it as the deep, deep south. It's basically as far south as you can go in the world.
Yeah, so. Amazing. What about you, Leah? Where are you from?
I'm from Westchester. It's about a 45-minute car ride.
Where in Westchester?
Scarsdale.
Scarsdale, yeah. Okay. I lived in Harrison. I always got lost going to Scarsdale. I can never
My brother lives in Harrison.
Ah, yeah. What street?
And the first restaurant I ever cooked at is in Harrison.
Which restaurant?
Trattoria Vivolo. It used to be like a diner, and now it's an Italian restaurant. It's been there for like
across from the train station.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I know exactly what you're talking about. That is so funny. Small world.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm familiar with any of the restaurants you
grew
up
in. That's okay. That's all right.
I'd like to be. I'd love to go there. Janine, when did you first get interested in cooking?
From a very young age, when I was a little girl, I would always cook with my mom. We'd make sponge cakes and pavlovas and lamingtons and really simple things, but that's kind of how I started getting cooking. And then I took a lot of culinary classes in school. And from there, I basically took over the cooking for my household, gave my mom a bit of a break.
So cooking was offered in your,
in my high school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was one of our electives. And it was actually the only subject that I got an A in consistently. But my parents owned restaurants as I was growing up. And I always wanted to be a chef. But my dad pretty much said, I don't think you should be a chef. It's really stressful. You have to work a lot of hours. You work every holiday, every weekend. And I'm like, oh, well, it doesn't sound so... I know, it doesn't sound so good. So I listened to him for a number of years, and I tested out a bunch of other career paths. I was in naturopathy and PR, and I never actually completed any of my university courses because I just wasn't into them. And I actually got a scholarship to go to University of Miami to do PR. And right before I left, I changed and I ended up going to Miami and going to culinary school. Huh. So my parents were a little bit shocked. They thought that I'd,
you were going
diverted. Yeah. But yeah, that's how
sure
I got into
cooking. I mean, I guess maybe short, but that experience in PR probably serves you really well.
It's yeah, definitely. Background. I mean, it was definitely something that I enjoyed. It wasn't something that I could see myself making
sure,
a career out of.
So, Leah, when did you first get interested in cooking?
I mean, the more that I listen to Janine, the more I think we have a lot more in common than I knew we did. Because kind of the same thing happened with me. I started cooking at a young age. My parents were working all the time, so I started cooking dinner for me and my brother. And then I really got into cooking, though, from the Food Network. it was just when the Food Network started happening, I was about 13 or 14.
Who were you watching?
Sarah Moulton, Batali, Bobby Flay, and Alton Brown is my favorite. Yeah. He's like a amazing genius.
I feel like everything I know, I learned from Walter Brown.
He's amazing. And then, yeah, I actually, I took cooking classes. We didn't have it in high school, but I did it like over the summer. I would come into the city, and it was Peter Crump's cooking school at the time. Yeah. I think it's Ice now.
Ice, yeah.
And then I started cooking professionally in Harrison when I was going to Manhattanville College. I went to University of Arizona, but like kind of flunked out and like then came back home and then started going to Manhattanville and working at the same time. I had also worked in the restaurant before, but not as like as a cook.
Sure, yeah.
I'm a terrible server. And
but you've done it.
I've done it. I've done bartending, and I actually did pizza delivery for like 3 years. It was awesome.
Very appropriate.
Yeah. I'm looking at all this pizza here and it reminds me of
back memories.
It was awesome. I would get like dressed up like kind of slutty, and like the men would request for like the woman delivery girl to like deliver. I would make like amazing tips. I would make like $200+ a night.
Just
like more than I make a night at
work. Where did you work?
Well, if all
I might have to start like delivering pizza again. It's a part-time gig.
Roberta's might be looking. Yeah. We can find out afterwards. I think the two of you, just as you were saying, I think you two have quite a bit in common. I've done a little research and I actually came up with a list of 5 things that I think is sort of fascinating that you guys both share. Starting with, you both went to culinary school. So Janine, you sort of traded going, I guess, to study PR. You ended up going to culinary school in Miami. How do you guys feel about culinary school? Are you pro culinary school? Do you advise other people to go if they ask you?
I mean, personally, for me, I learned a lot in culinary school. I think, you know, it's kind of whatever you make out of it. It's like any school that you do. If you study and you like are open to learn and you're like a sponge and absorb as much as you can, which is important in any career, but especially in cooking.
Yeah.
It teaches you the fundamentals. What it doesn't teach you is, you know, the long hours and how hard it is you know, you're going to have to start at the bottom. And then like, I think a lot of people that are in culinary school now think that like right out of culinary school, they're going to have like a high paying job and they're going to, you know, be like a sous chef, like right off the bat, which is like not the case. But I am pro culinary school, but I mean, I have a lot of people, actually my sous chef right now, who's probably like my mini me and like my favorite employee that I've had ever. He never went to culinary school.
I was going to ask, does it affect when you hire people at all? Do you look for it?
I mean, I think it really, like, culinary school is great for the resume, but it really depends just like what you take from it.
Sure.
You know,
What about you, Janine?
Yeah, I mean, I had a really great experience at culinary school. You know, I didn't think I went to the best of schools, but I think definitely you get out what you put in.
Sure.
So yeah. I was really dedicated and, you know, I read a lot, cooked a lot. Like my cookbook collection at home is like really vast and really varied. Like, you know, you really have to read a lot and cook a lot and practice at home and you know, take what the fundamentals that you learn at school and really, you know, just master them.
Sure.
So I'm definitely pro culinary school, but I guess looking at, you know, if I get a bunch of resumes and seeing the resumes that come in, if someone has gone to culinary school, like it is a plus because, you know, that they definitely have the fundamentals down and... But at the same time,
one would hope.
I guess you have to look at their culinary school GPA or something.
Yeah, exactly.
See how they did just because they went.
But yeah, I mean, it's not completely necessary. Like, I think just kitchen experience and real life experience goes a long way.
Yeah. The second thing that you guys have in common is you both competed on Top Chef. Leah, you were season 5. Is that right?
Yeah. It was so long ago.
How long ago was that? 6 years ago?
Something like that. Yeah. And I was actually on the season with Janine's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Is that how you guys know each other?
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. So funny. Small world. And you were season 11. Is that right?
Season 11. And yeah. So in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was last year.
Really? Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
It feels like longer ago, and I was even there.
I wait until like you can watch them all at once, and then like my wife and I binge watch them like in like a weekend. So like I feel like it just happened. How's life post Top Chef?
I mean, we both have restaurants, so that's a plus, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still cooking. I don't know. For me, I think I don't know Janine's experience on the show, but for me, it was positive and negative, I would say. The positive is obviously like the exposure that you get from doing a show. And I also learned a lot about, you know, thinking like on your toes and just having to, you know, be put in these like weird circumstances and like how to figure your way out of them. Mm-hmm. And so that was, I think, really helpful, you know, for my career. I had some like controversy or whatever on the show. So like that didn't really, like that wasn't really that great for me, but, I don't know. I think everyone reacts to like being on TV differently. Me personally, like I didn't like it. Like people like recognizing you was like foreign to me and like kind of weird. So after like the show aired, I just like kind of moved to Asia, which helped me to be where I am.
What you're doing now.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah.
What about you, Janine?
I had a pretty positive experience. Everyone that, like the rest of the cast for my season were all really great people and really amazing chefs. And it was kind of intimidating because I was the youngest on my season and probably had the least experience out of everyone. So that was kind of intimidating in the beginning. But I was lucky that everyone was just so nice and really friendly and like, it was kind of strange because I've watched past seasons and everyone, like, there's always one person that, like, everyone really hates or, you know, that is, you know, kind of crazy or a little bit of a bitch or a little bit nasty. But everyone in my season was really, really nice and really great and pretty supportive, which was really weird because I wasn't really expecting
Unexpected,
that. But I definitely learned a lot. Like, one thing that we would do was just, like, you know, talk about food and talk about how each chef kind of did things and, so I definitely learned a lot from my cast, which was amazing.
That's great. Yeah, no, it's great to hear that it was such a supportive kind of atmosphere for you. And sort of like the culinary school question, is Top Chef something you guys would recommend to people who are aspiring chefs?
I think it's definitely a good platform to do other things. Mm-hmm. It definitely opens up a lot of opportunities for you. And I think I definitely would recommend it to others, but it's not for everyone.
Yeah.
Like having cameras from when you wake up in the morning, like literally that's your alarm clock, like wow, okay, time to get up, I have a camera waiting for me, and it's not something that's for everyone.
Sure. Yeah
it's pretty intense. Yeah, it's pretty intense, like from morning until night, like you have
and how long
cameras on you.
Does a season take for how much of your life?
I was away in New Orleans for just over 2 months.
Okay.
And you know,
got longer. I was 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a long time to not have any.
Yeah. No, no communication to the outside world. It's pretty crazy.
I had a rough time with that. I got very homesick at camps.
You can't have your phone. You can't like Google stuff. I don't know. It's just weird.
Yeah. It's like it's just you and your memory. Yeah. Basically. Yeah.
What an intense.
I think you go a little stir crazy.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
I went a little nuts.
Yeah.
I'm
going
to be honest. Like, I got back and I was like, I've got bills now. I've got, like, back to regular
what's
life.
The first, the day you get home from the Top Chef experience, what was that first day like for you?
It was really weird. It was like shell shock. Like, it took me like a week to get back into my usual routine. And, like, I had a car and I was able to, like, everything on the show is planned out for you and you're on kind of like a need to know basis. Like, all right, so tomorrow we're going to wake you up at around between 5 and 10 and just
like waiting for a Time Warner cable.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Basically. And every movement was planned out. All right, you're going to get into this truck now and they're going to take you somewhere, but we're not going to tell you that where that is. And so going back to real life, it was like, all right, where am I going? Okay, that's for me to figure out.
Yeah.
So it was just, it took a week. It literally took me a week to get back into reality.
Leah, what about you? How long to reacclimate?
I don't know. I don't remember. It was so long ago. I'm still trying to figure it out.
That's so funny. Would you do that kind of thing again?
I would never do something like that where it took you away from that, mm-hmm. from your life for that long, especially now, that I have like a restaurant and everything. Yeah. Cause before when I went on the show, I was a sous chef. No, I wasn't even a sous. Yeah, no, I was a sous chef. And then, yeah, it wasn't my own business. It wasn't like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So no, I wouldn't do something like that again, but another competition show. I like hate competition. It like those shows are like, it's so, didn't you feel like you wanted to like throw up every time?
Oh my
like
God.
You would start
and
like,
I felt everyone else was so relaxed and chilled out. And I was like panicking the entire
my
time.
Heart
like
was
never
like
being so stressed out in my entire life constantly for like a whole 2 month period.
Yeah.
Just like on edge, like so anxious. And everyone else was like cool as a cucumber. Like, yeah, whatever they throw at me. I'm like, how can you be like this? Like, I am, like, freaking out right now. Like, and I'm trying to, I would always, like, try and figure out, like, what they were going to give us. Like, what kind of challenge they were going to give us. And, like, I would psych myself into this, like, crazy headspace where I'm like, okay, I'm pretty sure they're going to give us, like, a whole pig. And they're going to make us break down this whole pig. And then, like, you're going to get this part. And you're going to get this part. And, like, I would literally make up the challenges in my head and then it would be something completely different. And then I was like, fuck, like, where am I now? Like, this is terrible. I planned out my whole dish.
That's so funny. Now, sort of post the anxious life of being a top chef contestant, you guys are both chef/owners of restaurants in downtown Manhattan. Leah, when did you open Pig and Cow?
We opened September 25th or 26th.
You guys just had your 2-year anniversary.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
it was like a crazy party.
What, yeah. How did
we had
celebrate?
Uncle Magic, the hip hop magician. He was terrible.
Wait.
First of all, he showed up like two. Have you ever seen those commercials on like late at night on like MTV or VH1? He's like, "Hi, I'm Uncle Magic, your favorite hip hop magician," or like, and his thing is like, "Who's your favorite magician, Uncle Magic?" It's for kids, it's for children, and we were like, "Okay, we'll have it be." It was kind of like a sarcastic like.
So did you call him, or he just showed
no?
Up?
We called him. We paid him. Okay. We paid him with like.
I'm dying about his
rating. It was, but he was terrible.
Best purchase ever.
But everyone loved it, and it was like there was so much anticipation because he was like 2.5 hours late, which it
that
actually worked out fine.
A whole new meaning to being fashionably late.
Yeah,
like,
he was busy filming his reality show for VH1.
Oh God!
Did the cameras come with him or this
no?
Was
they okay. They wanted to, but we couldn't. I mean, to sign all of like the waivers for everyone that was in there because like the place was packed. But it was a carnival theme. So we had like Uncle Magic. We turned our restaurant. Like we had like two little like carnival games on like, and then we had like a cotton candy machine, a popcorn machine. We had three DJs. We had a face painter.
You should get into like bat mitzvah planning.
I know, right? My dad would be so happy. And then we had like a ton of food. We had like whole pigs that I had to break down.
That's amazing.
The challenge happened after all. Tell everyone a little bit about Pig and Cow, what kind of food you prepare, what the atmosphere is like, sort of on any night that's not the 2-year anniversary. I'm assuming that's not a typical.
So we do Southeast Asian food. The menu is based on my travels to Southeast Asia, like I said earlier.
So it's the post TV moment.
Yeah.
Trip. Okay.
I took took 1 year to travel around Southeast Asia and basically worked at different restaurants like in Thailand and Malaysia, Philippines and Singapore, and I basically brought back like my favorite dishes and reinterpreted them and put them on the menu, made the menu like that. I recently went, well not recently, but the last trip I did was in Burma or Myanmar, so I brought some dishes back, and then this year, this February, I'm going to Vietnam and Malaysia, so I'm going to bring back some more stuff.
So as travel, it sounds like it's a pretty essential part of...
I mean, I would like to go to Asia, like, once a year, and, you know, I have, like, 1,000 cookbooks, not literally, but I have a ton of cookbooks at home to, like, kind of, like, flip through and, like, refresh myself and, like, different types of cuisine. But yeah, it's like a fun. It's a fun restaurant. We play like old school hip hop music, very like relaxed. We have like a self-serve keg out in the backyard, $15 all you can drink. We wanted to remind you of like your college days when we were throwing keg parties. It's an open kitchen, so you'll see me there all the time. And yeah, I don't know.
Sounds like it's always a
party.
It's
like the LES vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Janine, tell us a little bit about Root and Bone.
So at Root and Bone, we are a Southern restaurant. Mm-hmm. My partner, Jeff, he is from the South. He's from the Panhandle of Florida, Alabama kind of area. So we try to take a lot of, you know, traditional recipes, some of which are from his grandma. And we try and just elevate them to a completely different level. So we take like classics like meatloaf, but instead of like a regular meatloaf that you've had 1,000 times, we take short rib and braise it for a really long time until it's like spoon tender. We shred it all apart, push it into hotel pans, and then we flip it out and cut it into like little bricks, and that gets seared and finished in the oven. So things like that. We have a, you know, deviled eggs are like quintessential for Southern cuisine, but we make pickled beets and we stain the eggs like you used to do when you were little at Easter time, and so they come out, they're pink, top them with the pickled beets and root chips, just kind of fitting for our theme. So basically our menu is based around, you know, traditional recipes, but we turn them on their head. So but our space is kind of small and quaint. We have about 45 seats, so it's really cozy and feel like you're walking
that's
into someone's...
That's a good size.
It is a good size. Yeah, it's good for us. And you're going to feel like you're walking into someone's living room or someone's dining room. And we have a chef counter which fits like 6 people.
Awesome.
So you can watch like everyone cooking and the, you know, you can ask us questions and how we're doing things. And it's very interactive. But yeah, it's very small, cozy, quaint.
Cool.
We did all of the interior design ourselves. So I was kind of inspired by like barnyard weddings, so it's like kind of romantic and whimsical, and we have a lot of light wood. It's a really nice space. Yeah. It's kind of cute for the East Village.
Yeah, wonderful. That sounds really like a cozy kind of warm place to be. We're gonna take a quick break and then we're gonna come back and I'm gonna ask you guys a bunch more questions about your restaurants.
Okay.
Hi, and welcome back to Radio Cherry Bomb. I'm your host, Julia Tertian, and I'm back with Leah Cohen and Janine Booth. We were just talking in the break about where both of your restaurants are located. Leah, you're on the Lower East Side, and Janine, you're in the East Village in Alphabet City, and we were just talking about the names of the streets you're on are different, but if you keep walking past Houston, you guys are essentially on the same, on the same block.
So Avenue B... north of Houston is Avenue B, and south of Houston is Clinton. And yeah, we're both on the same street. It's kind of cool.
Neighbors. And you guys both live in the neighborhoods where your restaurants are. Is that right?
Yeah. You kind of have to live right around the corner of your restaurant. You need to be there in a matter of minutes when something happens. So,
what made that part of Manhattan appealing for both of you, both as restaurateurs and I guess as residents?
I feel like I moved to the city about a year ago, and it was springtime when I first visited the neighborhood, and it was just alive with young, vibrant people. And, you know, there's just a lot of restaurants, lots of bars around the area, and lots of little community gardens. We're right next to a community garden, which is really cute.
Yeah, you're part of the East Village is like so wonderful with all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's really nice. So we've actually become members of the garden. We have like days that we go and like water the garden. We have herbs growing next door.
How often does watering day?
Once a week. Yeah. And so we have like herbs growing in there, and so we're able to go and like pick our own herbs.
Are you able to use them in the restaurant? Is that?
Yeah.
That's so wonderful.
Yeah.
That's
so great. It's kind of nice, and we're able to send, and we have like a to-go market area. Mm-hmm. We're able to send, you know, our guests next door, and like you can go and sit in the garden and have a picnic.
Great.
And our food's really great.
So you're really part of the community. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And our food's really great for picnicking.
Yeah.
It's really great, like share food. So it's nice.
That sounds
hopefully
great.
The weather stays nice for a little while longer and we can keep enjoying the garden.
For sure. Leah, what about you? What drew you to the Lower East Side?
Well, actually, my brother has lived in the Lower East Side for about like 4 years now. So when I was looking for space for the restaurant, I was also looking for an apartment. Mm-hmm. It was kind of really hectic part of my life because you want to live close to the restaurant,
yeah.
but you don't know where. So I was looking at East Village or Lower East Side. And I mean, I would go and visit my brother all the time in the Lower East Side because I used to live in Midtown, which is a terrible area. and yeah, I mean, I actually looked at the space the second time. I was like, okay, I'll take it. But like the first time, I wasn't sure. I passed on it the first time. But the more I just like went down to like the Lower East Side and just saw like the people that were in the neighborhood. And I mean, it's pretty similar to where you are. I mean, because it's like a 5-minute walk. I think it's just like young, mm-hmm. and it like kind of fits. Even though we do have two totally different restaurants, we still have kind of the same target market.
Yeah, definitely the same clientele.
So yeah, I think it just fits like with what we're doing, you know. And it allows us, I mean, it allows us to like kind of, you know, have that rough around the edges kind of restaurant vibe that,
yeah,
you know, I don't like stuffy, so yeah.
No Midtown.
Ew.
No Uptown. Do you sort of, speaking about like kind of the larger community and not just where your restaurants are located, do you guys feel like you're part of a greater chef community in New York? Is that something that you experience, or are you sort of spending time mostly just in your restaurants and with the people that you work with?
Well, my restaurant's very, very young.
Yeah, you're...
so we were just talking about on the way here, I'm like, do you take a day off, Leo? Because I'm having trouble right now. But, you know, we've only been open for about 3 months. So it's still a newborn baby. Mm-hmm. We still have to nurture it every minute of the day. So I definitely feel like when we do get a chance to go out and socialize with the chefs, we'd all very, very supportive of each other, and definitely great in that way. But I guess Leah's been living here for a really long time and been a chef in this city for a really long time. So I think you probably would experience the chef community a little bit more than myself.
I mean, I still have no life. I mean, we've been open for about 2 years and I still am there like all the time. I think we kind of have our own like little chef community, like especially like us being so close,
yeah,
and being,
sure,
you know, to each other and being friends. And then on Clinton Street, there's like, you know, I have a friend across the street who just opened Soul Chicken. And then my friend John Daly over at New York Sushi, mm-hmm. Co. And then the Black Crescent guys over at the bar. So like we kind of our own little,
yeah,
like
micro culture.
Yeah.
I feel like in the restaurant
yeah.
world, it's like you don't have to go far.
You don't
to
have
find...
to go far. And we're all, yeah, really supportive of what everyone does because everyone does great things.
Yeah.
And you realize, you know, you appreciate how hard everyone is working to do their own
I'm sure you,
things.
Yeah.
There's a lot of empathy.
And
going
and
on
we
there.
All borrow stuff from each other,
yeah,
which
I
is
bet.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, the amount of times where I've texted Leah like, hey, do you have to-go containers? do you have dish soap? It's actually opening, like, you know, ironing out all the creases of, like, ordering and just getting things running smoothly. Like, there's been so many, like, 911 times where I'm like, Leah, help me.
That's so great.
That's the beauty of it, I guess. That's the beauty of being right
down
the
street,
street,
yeah,
and being,
yeah,
good friends.
That's it. We have to get you guys the little Avenue B shuttle to go,
yeah,
back and forth between the restaurants. I want to talk a little bit more about the food that you both are cooking in your restaurants, because on my list of things you have in common, one is the food that you're cooking and preparing isn't necessarily food that you grew up with. And Leah, you grew up eating Filipino food,
yeah,
but not all Southeast Asian food.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How did you fall in love with sort of a broader...
I mean, for me, I've been visiting the Philippines since I was about 4. And when I was younger, probably go like once a year during like Christmas time because we would be out of school. And we would always, since it's such a long flight, we would always, you know, stop in like a different country, either go to like Vietnam or like whatever. So
it's like layover.
Layover, yeah, Japan or like whatever. So I always was interested in that kind of cuisine, but it was always super, I thought it was like really challenging because, you know, I wasn't familiar with like a lot of the ingredients, and I used to do Italian food, and that's, I don't want to say easier, but it's more familiar.
Sure, so, ingredients-wise, too.
Ingredients-wise,
especially in New York,
yeah.
Easier to get a lot of...
Way easier. I mean, it's really...
Easier to get a can of tomatoes than, like,
than sure, like fresh whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. But I found myself, like, always, like, when I would go out to eat, you know, and not be working, I would like, gravitate more towards, like, eating, you know, Southeast Asian food or Asian food in general. And...
I feel like you cook the kind of food that chefs crave.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that was the thing. I was craving it all the time. And then I was like, you know what? Like, I might as well, like, I'm going to try to learn how to do this. I mean, it's kind of part of, like, my culture. Even though Filipino food is quite different than, you know, like, Thai food. And then, so I just, like, packed up my bags and...
Hit the road.
Yeah.
And Janine, how did you come to sort of... cook and appreciate Southern cooking? It was through your boyfriend?
Yeah, so I'll be honest. Yeah. Before I moved to the States, I'd never had Southern food ever in my life. It's just, it hasn't made its way down to Australia. Like, it's a really long trip, so hopefully one day I'll be able to open up a Southern restaurant in Australia. But
so
I
Southern,
moved...
American cooking.
Yeah,
in Southern
absolutely.
Australia.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it would really take
cool.
off.
Yeah.
It would really take off.
Like, I think it would be welcome and
yeah,
appreciate
definitely.
It. Yeah.
So I moved to Miami about 4 years ago, and that's when I was at culinary school, and I had eaten at the way that I actually met Jeff, my partner. I lived in Midtown Miami, and he was working at this little spot called Gigi's. It was an Asian barbecue spot. And I was supposed to do a project on a chef in my local area and basically interview him and tell him and basically describe his life and how he became a chef and do a bio on him, basically. And I left it till the last minute. And instead of actually interviewing him, I just like Googled him and, you know, kind of fabricated a few things. And so, you know, basically...
Sounds like how I wrote most of my papers. I understand your method.
So I wrote the paper. It was all good. Got an A. Did a great job. And I was like, well, I should probably go and eat at this restaurant, saying I've done a paper on him now.
Give him your report.
yeah. Well, so I went and I ate with a girlfriend, and I had this meatloaf dish, which I kind of just described to you. Mm-hmm. It was with a smoky plantain sauce and pickled Fresnos and frisée and this like soy barbecue. And I still like remember it to this day. It was like perfection. And the whole experience was so inspiring, and I was just blown away. I'm like, wow, this is incredible food. I really have to meet the chef. And he was, of course, too busy to meet me, so we left. We went out, had a couple of drinks, and we were deciding where to go next. And I'm like, well, I could go to a club or another bar, or I could go and eat that meatloaf again because I'm still kind of hungry. So we ended up back at Gigi's that night, and by that time it had kind of calmed down. It wasn't so busy. And I ended up meeting Jeff and told him that I did a paper on him, and the next morning I was like, shit, why did I tell him that I did a paper on him? It's so embarrassing. But a few days later, I ended up working with him, and I worked for free for Jeff for about 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And he did a lot of...
Was that while you were in culinary school?
While I was
after?
In culinary okay. school, yeah. So he worked in a lot of Southern flavors, a lot of Southern flair and technique into this restaurant. After Gigi's, I followed him to Yardbird, which was purely Southern restaurant. And from there, I was, like, blown away. Like, this food is amazing. It's so comforting and soul-nurturing and... just something that I really wanted to explore more. So from there, like I think that Southern food can be thought of as quite stodgy and heavy and pretty fatty, but I love to cook in like a lighter kind of way with like lots of fresh vegetables and
the
fruits
herbs from
and,
the
yeah,
community.
Yeah, like a little lighter. So the way that I cook definitely influences the cuisine at Root and Bone. We take like, you know, say right now there's lots of pumpkins and squash in season, so we take squash and we focus on the squash, or we take corn and we focus on the corn. So we'll do like a corn with cornbread butter and popcorn and giant hominy. So really elevating and showing all aspects of the corn. So that's awesome. The way that I kind of like to cook.
Cool. But sounds like a good combination.
Yeah, it's a good combination. Yeah.
What do you guys both make of the word authentic when it comes to cooking, especially because you're cooking things that you might not have necessarily grown up with? Or
I mean, I hate it when it's on Yelp, because one of the biggest issues that people have is, I mean, people think that our food, that Pig and Cow, is like Filipino, Filipino restaurant, which it's not. It is a Southeast Asian restaurant with heavily influenced by Filipino cuisine. So a lot of times people on Yelp will say it's not authentic, which it's not, because it's not trying to be.
That's not what it is, yeah.
But I think it's important to understand what authentic Filipino food is, if you're trying to do that kind of cuisine, and then that way you know what it is, and then you can put your own spin on it, because it's important to learn the basics of any cuisine that you're doing.
Know the rules before you break them.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. And Janine, what about you? Is that?
Yeah, I would have to agree. I mean, we're not trying to do authentic Southern food, but the food that we do, I mean, everyone
you just
has
said do.
So much
should have.
I'm like 12.
So the food that we do is, you know, everyone has their own version of a deviled egg. Everyone has their own recipe for biscuits, but we have our own version, and that's what we do.
That's what
that's what we serve, and we're happy with that version. And you know what? 6 months later, we might change it, and we might be doing something else with our deviled eggs or with our meatloaf. But you know, I think everyone has their own way of doing things, and I think that's what makes every restaurant unique, is that my version of something is completely different to
person's. What makes it exciting as a
consumer. You know, my
consumer,
fried chicken is completely different to like Momofuku's fried chicken or like Bob White's Counter's fried chicken, and that's what makes you unique, and that's what makes people come back and enjoy
for the rest
your
of
food.
Us. It's our job to try them all.
Exactly.
The last thing on my list of things you have in common, and we can keep it quite short because we're sort of almost out of time, and I have a few more questions after that, is the fact that you both run your restaurants with your significant others. And it's been a common theme with guests on the show about working with any sort of, whether it's your boyfriend, your wife, your friend, your whoever, someone who's really close to you. How does that work for both of you? How do you sort of divvy up those responsibilities?
Well, I think with my situation, we are both back of house. We both are chefs. Mm-hmm. And I think with Leah, her and Ben, he works more of the front of house.
Yeah, but he used to be my sous chef.
But he used to be a sous chef.
And that was terrible. We fought a lot. Now we're not. We do different things, so it's much better. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we should try that out. No, I mean, Jeff and I get along very, very well. It's just the one thing that we battle with constantly is when to turn off. Like, when we turn off the work mind and let our relationship come into play.
But so is that something that you guys consciously kind of
we're very conscious of it. You know, in bed sometimes we lay there and we're talking about chicken and all of our recipes and like the issues that are going on right now and how to solve them, and like, and then we turn to each other and we're like, okay, we need to stop.
Yeah,
we need to just stop and turn off and like, and just focus on ourselves right now.
Sure.
So that's something that we're just consciously, you know, trying to battle. But
sounds like good advice for anyone who might be working with their
partner, definitely. And you know, a day off together, though it doesn't happen very often, it's really, really important, like, to just switch off and just, especially in the city, like, there's so much to just walk around and see, and we don't get to do that ever. So, like, yesterday, we actually took yesterday off, and we walked around, and it was a beautiful day, and we went and tried some barbecue food, which we've been trying to try forever at Mighty Quinn's. And
delicious, yeah.
And did a bit of shopping, and we really just switched off and turned our phones off, and it was a really great experience. And
that's terrific.
And today, right back into it, and it's a good refresher. Yeah. So.
I feel like a day off in the restaurant world is equal to like a week off in any other industry.
It's like,
it goes a long way.
Yeah, it's like you did like a full like mind-body cleanse in like one day.
Leah, what about you? Any advice for people who might work with their significant others?
I mean, I think, like Janine said, it's important just to kind of separate, you know, your work relationship and, you know, your home relationship. Mm-hmm. Ben and we get along really well, a lot better since he's not my sous chef anymore. I mean, we would only, you know, fight about work stuff. But I think it's really helped. It's helped the restaurant and it's helped our relationship because I'm in charge of the back of the house. He's in charge of front of the house. We both have, you know, our own responsibilities and we work together as a team.
Sort of a common goal.
Though. And have a common goal, you know, to make the restaurant more successful. Mm-hmm. It's hard and it's challenging, but my parents work together. They're both dentists and they own their own practice and they've worked together for I don't know how many years now. So it's kind of normal for me to see,
That's so
you know,
interesting.
Couples yeah. work together. And like when he's not with me, I miss him. So, but
yeah,
isn't
that crazy that you can spend every single minute of the day with someone and then when you're not together, you still miss each other.
It's, yeah.
That's good. That bodes well for all of the above. It's now time for those extra questions I was talking about, which are the Cherry Bomb Rapid Fire Q&A, which are the 7 questions I ask everyone who comes on.
Okay, cool.
No pressure. No worries.
First thing that comes to mind.
Don't overthink it. Don't worry. Who would like to go first?
I'll go.
Okay. Okay. Leah, sweet or salty?
Salty.
Janine?
Salty, sure.
Leah, what did you have for breakfast today?
Coffee.
How do you take it?
I have red eyes in the morning with a little milk and sugar.
No joke, yeah.
No. I got dark circles under my eyes.
Janine, what about you? What was breakfast today?
I had scrambled eggs and a banana that Jeff made me.
Sounds good. Leah, if I were to look into your refrigerator, you can pick either at home or at work right now, what might I be surprised to find?
Matzo ball soup that's been in my refrigerator for 2 weeks.
Did you make it? Or you?
No. Yeah. I got it from Katz's Deli.
Are you planning on...
No, I have to throw it out. Okay. It's just like just in
one
there.
One extra thing to do.
I don't know if that was like a trick to like age it.
No. Fermented matzo ball.
The next big thing.
Delicious.
Janine, what about you? What might be surprising in your
hummus,
fridge?
Hummus, peanut butter, apples...
Peanut butter in the fridge.
Not in the fridge, but that goes with the apples.
Okay.
And that's literally it.
That's it.
Like, that's what I'll eat.
Yeah, I have no food in my fridge at home. Ever.
When I buy food, it just goes to waste because we're never home.
Yeah.
So, and then at 2 a.m. when you get home, you don't feel like making anything but apples and peanut butter and hummus.
Sounds good. Do you eat them all together?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Leah, what's your go-to snack?
Pizza.
Pizza.
I'm waiting for it.
I think one's on the way. Janine, what about you? Favorite snack?
Favorite snack? Apples, peanut butter.
Your favorite time of day?
At night when it's cool to be drinking alcoholic beverages.
After work or during work?
Never during work, but after work for sure.
Janine, what's your favorite time of day?
Favorite time of day would be the morning time, but I don't usually see it very often because we work late, wake up late. Mm-hmm. So, but usually it would be the morning time, wake up, go for a run. Never happens these days, but that is my favorite
one
time.
Day, yeah.
One day. Looking forward to it.
Leah, where do you want to travel to next?
Oh, I want to go to Egypt.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's ever... given Egypt as an answer.
Really? Because everyone's weird. Egypt's awesome. They have like pyramids and stuff.
And you can eat lots of what's the right koshery, right?
What?
Kosher. It's like that rice. It's delicious.
Oh, I don't know, but I'll have it when I go there.
Okay. You have to report
and,
back.
Yeah, they have the pyramids and I'm actually really into scuba diving and I heard that they have really great scuba over there. So
really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. What about you, Janine? Where do you want to travel to?
Iceland. Yeah, apparently they have like these amazing hot springs and like I don't even know what they're called, but they like hot water that just like springs out of the water like a volcano. It looks really cool. Giant hot baths and Yeah, it looks really, really
cool. So you're going
cool.
on the sort of relaxing trip.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. When I go on vacation, it's all about food or relaxation. Yeah, so.
A little bit of both. Last question. Leah, what was your favorite meal when you were a kid?
Pizza.
Something's yeah, never changed.
How has it changed, huh?
I love pizza so much. Do you know Johnny's in Mount Vernon?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's like...
That pizza's amazing.
It's really yeah. good. I mean, my mom oh my God, ate it when she years. Was pregnant with me, and I feel like it just kind of became part of
interesting.
Who I
yeah.
am.
Yeah. My mom ate ice cream when she was pregnant, which explains most of my life. Janine, what was your favorite meal when you were a kid?
My mom makes a really good lasagna, and coming to think of it, I haven't eaten it in like so many years, mm. but that was like my favorite thing growing up. And she made a really good Malaysian laksa, which is,
ooh, I love
yeah,
that.
Like, and now it's like my favorite food. Like I go to Leah's restaurant and have the khao soi and it like takes me back.
Takes you home. That's so
oh,
great.
I'm working on a laksa dish.
Yeah. yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm so excited.
That's
the
so
first
great.
Time around was eh, but I'm working on it. Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
That's so great. Leah, where can listeners find you and the restaurant online? Where can they find more information?
Oh, I guess I do Instagram and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really do Twitter.
Yeah. What are your handles?
I don't know. At Chef Leah Cohen, I think. I think that's it. And I'm on Facebook. Or you can just find me at Pig and Cat.
Yeah, which is 68 Clinton Street.
Okay. Between Rivington and Stanton.
Awesome. Perfect. And Janine, what about you? Where can they find out more about the restaurant?
I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Chef Janine Booth. And the restaurant is at Root N Bone NYC.
And maybe you can go to Pig and Cow and then have meatloaf for dessert at Root and Bone, walk up the street,
yeah,
recreate
your
experience. Thank you both so much for coming on. It was a lot of fun to speak to you about what you're doing and what you've done and what's coming up. And as always, thank you everyone for listening. Tune in next Monday at 1 o'clock for another new episode of Radio Cherry Bomb.